This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today, the Ummah buried one of the most prominent global scholars of our time. And so today's khatir will be dedicated to him, a brief biography of that Sheikh and Alim. And even though I'm sure some of you might not have heard of him, because obviously he was in Arab lands, I guarantee you that almost all of you, 99% of you, have benefited from his works directly or indirectly. And the Sheikh I'm speaking about is none other than, who passed away today and was buried? Sheikh Abdul Majid al-Zindani. Sheikh Abdul Majid al-Zindani, I'm giving a biography of him, even though it was not my fortune to meet him. I wasn't able to meet him. He was a scholar from Yemen. But I have admired and respected and loved the Sheikh without having met him, wallahi, for over 40 years of my life. Even before going to my Islamic studies, when I was growing up as a teenager and reading his books, one of the first books that I read as a teenager here in this land was translations of Sheikh Al-Zindani, as I'm going to come to. And it was not my honor to ever meet and interact with him. So my biography is going to be as that of an outsider. He's not somebody that I was able to interact with. And yet his impact is global, and I think that there's much to benefit in his biography. He is, of course, from Yemen. And before I talk about his biography, I must bless and ask Allah to bless the people of Yemen. Not because I said so, but because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the people of Yemen, and he praised them in such a powerful manner that it makes me positively jealous. I wish I was a part of that peoples and places. Halal to be positively jealous. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina wa fi yamanina. Oh Allah, bless us in our Sham and our Yemen. And he said this when neither Sham nor Yemen were a part of the Ummah, were a part of the Islamic Empire, were actually had converted. Yet he said, these are our core. Sham is ours. Yemen is ours. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina wa fi yamanina. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a group came to him from Yemen. He said, ja'akum ahlu Yemen. The people of Yemen have come to you. Araqqu afidatan. They have the softest of hearts. The hadith is Bukhari. They have the softest of hearts. Their akhlaq are the best akhlaq. They're the most humble people. And I know the people of Yemen themselves, amongst themselves, they have their issues. That's between them. Us outsiders, how is our interaction with them? We all know them to be the most humble, the most kind, the most always smiling and whatnot. This is from a Prophet ﷺ. Araqqu afidatan. They have the softest of hearts. And then he said, al-imanu yamanin wal-hikmatu yamaniyya. Iman is Yemeni and wisdom is from Yemen. Iman will always be in the people of Yemen, and wisdom, yani scholarship, will be from the people of Yemen. So our Prophet ﷺ said scholarship will be from the people of Yemen. And since the beginning of Islam, some of our greatest ulama have been from Yemen, and we hope inshallah the alim that passed away today is also included in that hadith of our Prophet ﷺ telling us that Yemen is going to produce many hakims, many wise scholars. And of course the people of Yemen, they played a vital role, especially in early Islam, in all of the conquests. There was always, I don't know if you know this or not, if you read Islamic history, they would divide the armies based upon tribes and ethnicities. So because it will help them cooperate together. So you had this group at one tribe, this group another tribe. Always the people of Yemen were at the forefront of every single major battle. In Qadisiyah, in Yarmouk, in the Fatah, the conquest of Andalus, there was the army of Yemen. So the people of Yemen were actually at the forefront of all of these great military conquests as well. And so we hope inshallah all of those blessings, they are also demonstrated in our scholar of today. Sheikh Abdul Majid al-Zindani, he was born in 1942. In Yemen, 1942 in Yemen. So he passed away at the age of 82, 83 Gregorian years. And what is amazing about this person is that he combined between so many different disciplines and fields. He was a politician, and he gave up politics. He was a alim. He was an academic and a dean. He also participated in Afghanistan, which makes him, you know what it makes him. And all of these, it's combined in that one person that throughout his life, he was also known throughout his life for being very ascetic, very humble, never living in grandiose palaces, always the most humble person. He was known to be an abid and a zahid. Like, you rarely get all of this combination. He began to study in the sciences. I believe it was, if not engineering, maybe it was maybe pharmaceutics or something. He began studying the sciences in Egypt back in the 60s under Nasser. But he was always an Islamic activist. So under that time frame, he was jailed. He was thrown in jail in Egypt, and then he was banned from Egypt. So he decided to change the course of his career from medicine or something into Islamic studies. So from that time forth, he started studying Islam, and he traveled on his own to other various lands. He traveled to Arabia, Saudi Arabia. He went to other lands. And then when he came back, at that time frame, very few people were educated to that level, and so the government gave him a position, and he continued to rise until he became the second in command of the minister. So he's the vice minister. He's literally going to now become the minister. This is back in the 70s or so. He was very popular in his political party, and he decided to resign and start teaching and preaching full time. He gave up a career in politics. They say he was on his way to become, if not the prime minister, if not the president, then within that inner circle. And he gave up politics, which is so rare at the prime. He was in his 40s. He gave all of that up. Why? His dream, his vision was to teach Islam. So what did he do? Single-handedly, without any government support, he founded one of the most interesting, amazing universities of Islamic studies in the whole world, in Sana'a in Yemen, Jama'atul Iman it is called. And I was hearing about this university even when I was in Medina, and we would meet students who would come for Umrah. We would meet them and we would be impressed and surprised at their curriculum. It is said that he devised one of the best curriculums in the whole world. It was a 10-year program. There was no bachelor's, master's, PhD, just one. You study 10 years, and single-handedly, without any government support, he opened up a massive institute and university with free tuition, free room and board for any student from anywhere in the world. Yani, this is just mind-boggling. And as you know, Yemen is not a wealthy country. Yemen is not, you know, a country. Yet, subhanAllah, Allah blessed him to do this. 5,000 students will study at any one time. This is a massive university and free of charge. And he's teaching students from every single country. And along with this, even though he resigned from the government position, he never resigned from political engagement. He was always involved influencing the politicians, wanting his country to be better. So he had a lot of positions that made him popular or unpopular along the way. And one of the things that he was known for, as I said, was his humility and his ibadah. Everybody who knew him to be a worshipper of Allah. He would constantly cry in his salah. He would pray tahajjud every night. Today, I called up one of his main students in America, one of our Yemeni mashayikh. He studied with him. He graduated from that university. I called him up to give him my condolences. And I said, tell me, what do you know about the sheikh? He goes, wallahi, I'm telling you privately. So you don't know the sheikh's name. So that's why it's private. It's still private. I asked permission without his name. I'm telling you privately, I accompanied him in his journeys and his tours for years. And I saw him always crying in salah. I saw him when I would go to sleep in the room, he would stand up and pray tahajjud. He would pray tahajjud thinking I'm asleep. And he would be praying tahajjud and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That level of scholarship and of being a politician, giving it up, and of teaching and preaching, and of constantly worshipping Allah, this is something that we hear about in the books of the past, and it's rare to find in our times. And he had, as well as this, a well-known humility, humbleness. Like, he was never arrogant. He was always down to earth. Anybody would come and teach and preach to him. But I want to emphasize two things. The first of them, why did I say every one of you in this audience is indirectly, if not directly, affected by him? Because he single-handedly carved out and globally popularized an entire strand of knowledge that was hitherto almost unknown, untouched, undiscovered. single-handedly, from the late 70s, 80s, 90s, 30 years, single-handedly, his name is associated with the whole aspect of scientific miracles of the Quran and Sunnah. You know, all of you have heard lectures, right? The scientific miracles of the Quran. You grew up, I grew up. This is my first exposure to him. I told you I read him as a teenager. This is my first exposure to him. His name became associated with sponsoring conferences, bringing top-notch non-Muslim researchers who would compare and contrast the Quran, the Hadith with modern science. All of these khutab and durus around the world that you guys are accustomed to, we can honestly say he's the one who began the first domino. He's the one who started all of this, and it just trickled down. It became a global. He would sponsor conferences across the globe, in Jeddah, in Yemen, in across the places, and he would bring many scientists, Muslim and non-Muslim, to discuss those aspects of the miraculous nature of the Quran. And perhaps the most famous product of that, one of the most famous embryologists of the 80s and 90s, Keith Moore. He attended that conference, and Sheikh Zindani suggested to him to co-write a book together, because he spoke English. He understood English, Sheikh Zindani. And so Keith Moore and Sheikh Zindani co-authored a book that some of you might have seen, Embryology in the Quran. That's his name is on that book, Embryology in the Quran. And Keith Moore at the time was one of the world's leading embryologists. And he said, I have never seen any book, you know, from the past like the Quran that is so vivid in its description of the human embryo. And he goes, I don't know how to explain this. We don't know whether Keith embraced Islam or not, but he co-authored the book with Sheikh Zindani, and it is still available online. Now, again, for the record, some people said that perhaps he's reading in too many miracles, and that's a criticism to be given. But the point is, he began the project. And, you know, you can agree or disagree about every single ayah. Was it actually, in its place or not? But that's fine. The point is, he began and he popularized. And that's why I said, everyone amongst you, even if you haven't heard of his name, you have been impacted by his thought. He has benefited the ummah in a way that hardly any scholar has in our times. And when he saw atheism begin in Yemen, Yemen had no atheists. Beginning to have atheist associations, he wrote one of his most famous books. It is still available in Arabic and English, Kitabul Iman, the Book of Iman. And in it, he defended belief in Allah in a way that was meant to appeal to the modern minds, to appeal to the modern scientists. And he wrote a book that is one of the most popular books of his in the Arabic language. It is available in English as well, the Book of Iman. So this is the first point, is that subhanAllah, he really did an amazing thing in this regard. The second point that I really admired about him, and this was something I admired since I began to know of him and hear of him, and that is that without a doubt, he was an independent thinker. He did not follow any one particular group or strand. Even though, you know, he was associated with, let's say, the Brotherhood, he studied with many of the Salafi scholars, but in the end of the day, he wanted to benefit the global ummah. And he didn't just stick with one group or one jama'ah or one strand. Because, you know, if you look at the ulama, and this is, I'm being factual, I'm not being, yani, I'm just telling you how it is. Most ulama, they stick with the group they studied with, which is fine, no problem. Most ulama, the institute they study with, they will just replicate those views and preach those views, and that's good, and they're going to benefit the people. Some ulama, they break away and they become global. They want to benefit the ummah. And so because of this, I want to bring this point up. I was in Medina at this time, and because at the time Sheikh Zindani was at his prime as the president of the university, the professor of the university, being involved in politics, advising politicians, constantly, whatever he would do, some people would praise, some people would criticize. Constantly, this is the reality. And you know, subhanAllah, you get caught up like, what do you believe? Would this guy's liking him, this guy's not liking him. But you realize as you grow older that when a person wants to unite and bring about benefit for the broader society, not just any one strand, then that person will be attacked. That person will be criticized. Because when you break away from your jama'ah, you no longer have a base. You no longer have one group. And so whoever attacks you, you're an individual. Because now you don't, had he been subscribing to one group, then he has, you know, allies. But He's not interested in that. He wants to benefit the ummah. And so that's exactly what he did. At times, members of the brotherhood would attack him. At times, the Salafi group. At times, this and that. But he did not care. His goal was to benefit the ummah. And now that he's gone, subhanAllah, all the criticism is gone and the good remains. Now that he's gone, all of this back and forth that happened in his lifetime, everybody has forgotten. And everybody recognizes what an asset he was to the ummah. And I know one thing as well, and I confirm with the person I spoke with today as well, that despite all of the criticisms people would give him, he would never stoop and go criticize them back. In fact, the person I spoke with today gave me another benefit. He said wherever the sheikh went, he would always have a private, non-public gathering with members of other groups who would criticize him. He would invite them and just have a gathering of brotherhood, Islamic brotherhood, which would usually solve the problem, or at least, you know, lower the criticism about that. The level of humility to be invited as the sheikh of the city, and he's the one who says, no, 2 hours before, I want to meet so and so and so and so. And he would invite people from people outside of his entourage, outside of his group, and he would ask them, get to know them, find out what's happening. Once upon a time, he would visit America as well in the 80s, but then, as you know, our country bans everybody they don't understand or like, and so he also became eventually banned as well. But he would come here regularly in the 80s. And so his humility at interacting with all people and hearing their side and never stooping to their level of criticism. SubhanAllah, this won hearts and minds. It is this type of level of scholarship and of ibadah and of sincerity that truly it is the mark of an alim. And now that he has gone, now that he's passed on, SubhanAllah, all of the critics are gone. But his positive and his work, we now recognize what a revolutionary thinker he was. And he was, as I said, involved in multiple fronts. Unfortunately, because of the civil war in Yemen, you know, the other group that came and attacked, they wanted to assassinate him. You know, the other group that is now in charge of that place. And so they literally targeted his house. This is, I think, 2 years ago. They targeted his house. Allah saved him. Before the attack, he managed to flee. And so he fled to the southern borders of Saudi Arabia. And then from there, he fled for his life to Turkey, where he died because the country now is in civil war there. So he passed away in Istanbul and he is buried over there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, grant him firdaus al-a'la. And I want to make one final plea. And I'm being blunt because I want us to grow as an ummah. Please excuse me if this offends anybody, but I want us to grow and benefit. O Muslims, understand that the religion of Islam is broader than one strand and one maslak and one madhab and one firqa. And my humble, sincere advice to all of you is to listen to ulama outside of the strand you happen to like. Just listen, because you will be surprised that actually there's a lot to benefit. Actually, I'm talking about mainstream, I'm not talking about fringe. Every mainstream movement within Ahlul Sunnah, every mainstream jama'ah, it has people of iman and taqwa and ilm. And they will benefit you to think in ways you did not think before. And a person like Sheikh Zandani is an example of this. That, in fact, you cannot classify him as this or that. He had independent opinions. And in the end of the day, he left a legacy that truly is global. That is the type of scholarship I personally admire the most. And my sincere advice to all of you, don't just stick with the same type of people that's in your bubble. Don't just stick with the same, because then your mind will just become exact same. Be brave enough to go listen to ulama. I'm talking about ulama who have massive followings in mainstream Ahlul Sunnah. You're not going to die. You're not going to have a heart attack. Believe me, it's going to be okay. And you will be surprised that, wow, okay, this guy is making sense and wow, I'm actually benefiting. And in that benefit, you will gain in knowledge, you will gain in iman, you will gain in tolerance, and you will realize the ummah, as Allah has promised, is an ummah that is marhuma, an ummah that has rahmah in it. And the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ is way bigger than my and your one small jama'ah. Fi kullin khair, there is good in all people. This is my sincere advice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we'll continue next week. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.